This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Selling a little... or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Lining them up like crack. Ladies, ponies at the track. It's my chocolate attack. Shit, I'm stepping in harder this year. Yeah, bear repping in harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate. Ha, 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 ha. Yo, we gon' ghost down this Motown with your sound. You in the blink. Gon' bite the dust. Can't fight with us. With your sound, you kill it. So don't stop. Get it. Until you chair the head. Watch the way I navigate. Ha, 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 ha.
Folks, welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. This is your Friday episode. We did it. We made it through the week. That, of course, was JoJo. JoJo, if you guys don't know JoJo, that's JoJo. Of course, that is a mashup of that and a Gorillaz song, Feel Good Inc. And I love Gorillaz. I could go on for hours about the band Gorillaz, that Damien Albarn put together. But I remember when that song came out, and there are certain songs that speak to me as a young woman, as I am. But I had a huge Like, I once every couple of years, I'll get into like a K-hole where I'll listen to that song, Leave, Get Out by JoJo. And it's so good. I have that hook, that like, get out. It's like, it's an anthem. It's anthemic. It is an anthemic song. I dare you not to go, leave, get out, all day. It's coursing through your veins at this point. How is everybody doing? I'm not doing great. I mean, I'm doing great. I'm just, you know, those days where you're just like, my body and your mind, it just doesn't work. You know, you're just trying to get through the day. It's like 11:41 p.m. Thursday evening. I just watched the Kardashians and took notes on that. And I hung out with my parents and I made them watch Summer House with me. And Bill and Becky Bailey will be on this episode just in a moment, actually. They do a little 15-minute Summer House of tonight's episode. And of course, a full recap will be over on the Patreon. I believe I'm doing that this weekend. I'm behind on a couple of things right now. But today was just one of those where you're just going through the motions. And I did this Clubhouse with Ian Gelfand, the producer of Summer House, and he's just such a cool guy. And I thought the interesting thing about the Clubhouse was he was talking, and he talked about this on the podcast I did with him too, is that it's always funny. You know, you think about somebody like him, I think like, wow, he's in charge of Summer House. And you talk to him and he's like, oh, I'm really excited to do scripted work, you know, because one of the questions was scripted or reality. And he was like, well, you know, I really, my heart's in scripted work. And I'm sitting there going, dude, you're like you're the king of reality. Summer House is an amazing show. He's worked on Love and Hip Hop. He's worked on all of these real, like he worked on a season of Dallas. He did Buried by the Bernards on Netflix. And I'm sitting there going, it just goes to show you. Nobody, I mean, not that we're ever supposed to be satisfied, but you can look at somebody else's life and think, oh my God, they have it all figured out. If I was only this guy. And then you talk to that guy or girl and they're like, oh my God, if I was only this guy or girl over here. Like nobody, does anybody like being who they are? I guess anybody like, I am totally cool. Like maybe Kourtney Kardashian. And even that, I mean, the people that probably think they're dope shit are not dope shit. So it's like, that kind of confidence is wasted on the wrong people, you know? But I was just thinking about that all day. And I was also thinking about, high school. Remember, you guys remember the first all-nighter you did in high school? And I don't mean for a party, I mean for like school. I remember towards the end, maybe it was junior or senior year of high school, and I had to finish like these school projects and I had left it to the last minute, of course, which that's why I initially thought about that tonight, because I was like, how late am I going to do this? Like, what time are you actually going to get the motivation to record? Like, it's so weird, you guys. It's so weird to explain it. And I guess it's the only way I can think of is when you guys go to work or you guys do something is you know that you have to do this thing. And by the way, no, but I don't have to. I'm not under any law. And at the end of the day, it's not going to matter a hill of beans if I don't do this. But I really, I deeply love it. And I hope you guys dig it as well. But I was sitting there like, when do I do this? When do I do this? And I was remembering back to high school of those times, like that first time you did an all-nighter. And it was like, wow, look at me. I'm growing up. I can do an all-nighter. Look at this. I'm going into school with zero sleep. Also, I do have a bone to pick. Does anybody, I have a bone to pick with people that say they stayed up all night and they're lying, you know? Or like when people will be like, oh my God, I did not sleep at all last night and you were actually in the same bed with them and you watched them sleep. I think sleep lying is a huge crime in this country. I hear it all the time of like, oh my God, I got no sleep. And then you're like, the reality of that situation is probably got a solid 6 hours. Like I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But yeah, that's sometimes what a podcast is like, is that you wait till the end of the day, you wait to see if things happen. And then you're like, oh, I gotta start it. And back in the old days, you guys, for those people new to the show, I used to do, I would do one really long one, which I'm talking like 6 hours, a 6 hour podcast. It would have like three guests, a bunch of bits. And I would put those out sometimes on Wednesday, but it was such a, I would dread Tuesday so much because it wasn't the fact of putting all this stuff together. It was that the file size would be too large where it would crash my computer over and over again. So you would get to like 3 or 4 in the morning and you would finish all the edits and then you would go to process it. And there would be times where, because it's such a large file, it would take 20 to 30 minutes to process. And then on the very last minute, it would crash the computer. And there were moments doing that where it was just like, you're just in tears because you're like, you work so hard at this thing. And then it's that. And unfortunately, I don't speak computer. So it all. Anyways. Do I share too? I think I share too much. Maybe I maybe share too much. Oh God, this is so cool. I'm going to play for this. I'm going to play this for you guys on Monday, but there was a guy and a girl, a couple, I think a husband and a wife that listened to the pod and they made something really cool that I want to play on the pod. I think Monday or Tuesday. And I think you guys will really dig it, but I was like, oh my God, the first couple that listens to me together. And I was like, you guys got to, and I was DMing with this person. I was like, you guys got to come on together. Like, that would be amazing. Like, oh my God, what if, and this is probably where I lose the only couple that listens to me together. Do you think they've ever made love to the podcast? Because it's a funny podcast, sure, but sometimes it's serious and sometimes it's downright sexy. And I don't think anybody else can argue with that at all. So if they do come on the pod, I got my first question, I guess. I got to tell you guys, I was so livid. I was, somebody sent me a Dumois, you know, Dumois, the gossip columnist on Instagram that's been on the pod a bunch. Somebody sent me one of her items today and it was very frustrating, very, very frustrating because this is the item right here. It says, I have T Southern Charm hookups. Anonymous, please. Was at a very popular cocktail bar in Charleston last Thursday, and in stumbles Madison LaCroix and Whitney Sudler Smith from Southern Charm. They proceed to kiss right there in the middle of the bar on display. Guess she's moved on from A-Rod and doesn't care who knows it. First off, I'm going to fully vom. Are you kidding me? Whitney? Whitney Port from the Hills is a more attractive man than Whitney Sudler Smith from Southern Charm. Whitney is coasting on his mom's money. Patricia, love Patricia. I'm so sorry about Whitney, Patricia, if you're listening. And also, big shout out to Michael, the butler. Send prayers. He is, I know he's fighting to get back on his feet again after the spinal cord injury he had. And that's not a joke. That's real. So please send him your well wishes. I believe Shameless Strumpet, an account, has an address where you can actually send him cards. Okay, but back to how I hate Whitney. Whitney is such a tool. And like, do you remember those Southern Charm episodes where he was playing for that model girl, his guitar, and she had to watch him play? And it was just the most, like, you think Khloe Kardashian's freaked out about her bathing suit pictures? Whitney should be freaked out. It was horrible. I mean, I remember watching it I was like, I ran out of my bedroom when I watched that. I jumped out of a second story window. I watched it on a plane and I walked out. No. Yeah. So supposedly that's just too convenient though. Like, in what world does Madison go from Austin, okay, to A-Rod, Jay Cutler, both sports players, and then to Whitney? And Whitney does come from money. We know Madison likes money. Whitney also is one of the producers along with his mom on Southern Charm. So, of course, that's, but I mean, I don't even know if I'd want to see that on the show. I was picturing Madison and Craig having that be the big, like, big blow up stuff that we would have to get over in the season. But if they're coming in with a potential hookup with, I don't have any, it's like Russian is a foreign language. I have no grasp of it. You know what I'm saying? I have no grasp of what my thoughts are even. I just see red. I just become immutably angry and, it's not good. It's not good. I'm going to sleep on it. And, I'm worried about that. And of course I don't want to go to sleep tonight because tonight's Southern Charm, Hannah and Dez were, you know, kick the kids out of the car. You guys were fucking all over the house. Like, it's so, like, it's like one, like, you know, personal lovemaking, whatever. It's like between two adults. But like, then it's on camera and they're like, let's have sex on top of this sink. And you're just like, are they going to start? Like, they already put in too many, they put in too many of those for my comfort, especially when I'm watching 2 feet away from my parents. I mean, you want to think of awkwardness. I mean, we're sitting there watching. Of course, we're all naked as a family, and then we have to see. No. But like, I, you never get over that. No matter how old you get around your parents, if a love making scene or just straight up sex scene comes on, it's. I've never felt like. I mean, and I guess that's good. There's no point that you should want to be around your parents and go, I'm totally cool with this. You guys want to rewind that? Watch it again. Love it. Like, no, it's always, it puts you, it reverts you back to that childhood thing of just like, oh my God, make it stop, come on, Dez, come already, Jesus. They hooked up in the hot tub, they hooked up in Kyle and Amanda's bathroom. Like, I mean, a sink is a sink. Why are you, that just, oh God. So yeah, we're going to get their thoughts. I love getting Bill and Becky's thoughts on Summer House. The other thing I wanted to mention before we get into this, it's been a really, I hate that I feel the way I do today and I needed to be way more appreciative because so yesterday I was on Reality Check with Amy Phillips on Sirius. You can also go get that show at any time. It's on demand on, if you have the Sirius XM app. And I was really happy with it. But then today another great thing happened and I just feel really blessed in this sense is the Washington Post. I was interviewed by the Washington Post, the newspaper about the Kardashians, for a pop culture article. I talked with this great lady, Emily Yar, last week. And I think Emily, the reporter for The Washington Post, will be on So Bad It's Good very soon. Because I was like, I asked her, I was like, I would love to find out about how your job works. I mean, it's a really cool job, especially in this day and age. And I know they get a lot of shit, and especially The Post and The Times and stuff. But I would be so curious how you get to that point where you do what you do. And we had the best conversation for like 30 minutes last week. I had so much fun talking to her. And they just used a couple quotes. They talked to so many cool people in the article. But I was one of those people. And you can find it online. I'll try to drop the link somewhere. I think you can find it on my Instagram story still. But my quotes were, people would be naive not to pay attention to the show. It was Shakespearean, said Ryan Bailey, host of the reality TV podcast, So Bad It's Good. That's us, you guys. Quote, business mastermind Chris Jenner. Oh, no, it says business mastermind Chris Jenner. He noted, quote, at times sacrificed her family's well-being and family sanity. But in doing so, she built an empire. Wiser words were never spoken. Whoever said that is genius. Because if you factor in Chloe this week, I'm totally dead on right. I said this last week. It's going to keep happening. Kris Jenner leveraged her family's mental stability over success. And she won that success, but then she deals with people like Chloe not being able to handle putting a picture out there of herself anymore. And then I got to end the article and it says, quote, to me, this was Kris Jenner's dream from day one, Bailey said. It's a real American story. Where else could something like this happen? Boom. Your boy did. Are you guys, we did this. We're in a newspaper, you guys. That's so exciting. Okay. I have so much stuff to talk to you. And I'm going to save that for next week. I have so many stories to get to. Sophie Ross will be joining us back on Monday. She has fully moved in. And there's like 40 billion things I need to talk to her about. If you guys have any questions too, just email me at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everybody that does that. I really appreciate it. I'm just wiped out right now mentally and spiritually. I just almost got disgusted with myself. So I'm going to cut to Bill and Becky. We're going to play that. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to do a Kardashian recap. And then I talked to my friend Megan earlier this week, who's a lawyer. And I talked about airing this earlier, but she was on the Jen Shaw call last week. And so I'm going to put that on at the end as a nice little, kind of a thing to set you off into your weekend. So we got three cool things here: Bill and Becky, Kardashians, and then Jen Shaw. And then we're going to go party like it's 1999, and we're going to, is it uncouth to say party our balls off? I think that's, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill and Becky Bailey. Okay, so yeah, I got a mocking boat. Yeah, raw, you know my face. Spoke me acting extra hard like what my dad were over. Talking that noise on all them songs. A bunch of little boys, but y'all look grown. Those niggas there and these niggas here, it really don't matter because they all just clones. Go to school, read a book, be a lawyer. Hell yeah, man, I'm all for the cause. I ain't trying to get involved in the law, sir, but a nigga will get caught with the most murder. Okay, welcome back. We have fan favorites, Bill and Becky Bailey, my parents. Say hello to everybody.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have a
Harry and Meghan t-shirt from the Royals, and you don't like the Royals, and a lot of people were upset you guys didn't like the Royals.
No, I like the Royals. I just don't care for those two.
You don't like Harry and Meghan.
I love the royal family, the history of it. Those two.
Yeah.
I think when it goes into the wash, the bleach will come out.
Oh, you're going to destroy my shirt. So you've now watched 4 episodes of Summer House. How hot was it seeing Hannah and Dez have so much sex tonight? Was that hot for you guys?
I couldn't relate.
Mom, did that make you feel anything? Now, we also got...
Was it nice? He seemed...
No, it was fine.
They seem like they fit.
Yeah, but would you have sex in somebody else's bathroom?
No, that's not very nice.
Yeah, but you're saying that now, but if
and
it came down
pantry,
to it...
And in the pantry where everybody's got all the food? Ugh.
Wait... And then Stravi came back, and Dad said about Stravi, said, run, dude. He's the guy that did the candles and said, I love you.
Yeah.
And you think Lindsay doesn't like him at all.
Lindsay, that's the one I don't care for.
The blonde girl with the boobs.
With the dress?
Yeah.
No, I don't care for her at all. I think she's just nothing but phony. And the guy seems like a nice guy. He makes a hell of a sandwich. But, I mean, just run, dude, run.
What do you think? Well, you're in love with Stravi.
I like him, and I feel bad because I think
would
she's playing him.
Would you have sex with him in a pantry?
Well,
yeah. He seems kind of boring, though. I don't know.
He's got that side to him that's romantic and amazing.
Wait, because he lit some candles and did a I love you in the...
Hey, it was better than the fish and chips.
Okay.
I think he should have brought sandwiches.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, was there anything else that stood out for you from tonight's episode? It's kind of a slow episode.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't exciting.
What's Loverboy's girlfriend?
Amanda. It's Kyle and Amanda.
Amanda was too whiny about her anniversary of an engagement.
Yes, you said they shouldn't be celebrating anniversary. It's kind of like gender reveals. They shouldn't be doing those either, right?
An anniversary of a bowel movement? I mean, how many anniversaries? And because then at the very end... It was going to be the anniversary of something else, she said, that was coming up.
Well, when you're in love, everything is an anniversary.
Well, that's okay, but you don't have to get so sad that you think everybody's taking your limelight.
And what did you think of Luke this time? Because Luke was the one that came back into the house and had to apologize to everybody.
Luke is the one who wears the hats all the time.
Yeah, and he's like always shirtless, and
he's a strange dude. I mean, he's different people.
He's from Minnesota. Is that different in your experience?
Wants all the attention. Well, they each do in an individual way. Each one of them wants to be recognized. They're all like playing it.
Was that recognized
or recognized?
Mom gets very animated in this. Yeah. So
you should have seen her back in the day.
What did you think of Carl tonight? Carl really didn't do much.
Carl was rather boring.
Wishy-washy.
I like Carl and everything, but I get a little tired of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can also. I think he's planting seeds to get with Sierra.
Well, that's what
Sierra?
I want.
Sierra is
to know
the really
why.
Beautiful African American girl.
That's,
yeah.
That's right. I wanted
That's
to see
of
more
favorites.
Of her tonight. She was like
I'd
non-existent.
Like to see more.
And we saw the one girl, Paige, cried about her boyfriend not being there.
Robert not
sad.
Being
there. Her guy.
Robert came for the
Robert
other
is Danielle's guy.
Oh, Perry.
Yeah. Perry, yes,
Perry,
yes.
Perry's
he's leading her on. He's got a second life.
Wow, that's a huge jump, Mom. You think that's what it is? He has a second life?
Yep.
You think he has like another girlfriend and all that stuff?
Well, seriously,
Why
wouldn't he come and join him?
He's 8 years older than her.
Yeah, but he
still party time.
Look how old Dez is.
Yeah, Dez is like looks like he's in his 50s or something.
So Perry loses in this game.
Yeah. Okay.
What does he lose?
He's gonna lose Danielle. Is that her name?
What's that?
Danielle.
No, Perry's going to lose Paige.
Paige,
yeah.
I knew I had those two.
Yeah.
Paige is attractive.
Paige is really cute.
She's cute.
But Hannah, she's turned out to be not a fan favorite this season. She's
Hannah's
the one
I don't like.
Yeah, well, you don't like Hannah,
well,
and you don't like Lindsay. Hannah was the
Hannah's
one making
Dez.
Out in the jacuzzi in the bathroom.
With Dez,
yeah, with Dez.
She just looks, I don't dislike her, but she just looks kind of strange.
Yeah, she just looks, you mean mean?
Yeah.
No, just
I think she looks mean.
Yeah.
You think she looks mean?
I think she's vindictive.
Well, I do think every she's used to using her words to get her way.
Yes.
But you said Luke looked bothered when they were in the relationship with Death.
Yeah, he was jealous.
He looked bothered.
But, I mean, the thing with, I was trying to explain you guys to my parents is that they went in the house and Luke, they had fooled around, but they never had sex.
Right.
And he thought they were friends. And then they went into the house. And all of a sudden, Hannah said, "You've been leading me on." And he was like, "Well, you said." And then he finds out tonight she's also been dating somebody and had sex with somebody. So how could he have possibly been leading her on if she was already doing that? Like, she wasn't sitting there waiting for him.
But I think she's jealous.
Was he leading her on?
I mean, I think he's a good-looking guy that probably leads, like, but I don't think he's aware that that's what leading on is. I think he's just a good-looking guy that girls throw themselves at, you know?
And he's jealous because he sees her happy and he thinks, oh, maybe I should have taken that on.
It's not unlike probably what you used to deal with, Mom.
Sure. With people.
Hey, Mom, follow-up question. Have you ever been peed on?
No. you never had
Dad, any? Dad. Okay, same question to you, Dad.
You never had a yellow shower?
No, it's called a golden shower,
gold
Dad.
Shower.
Yeah. Dad had to act like he didn't know the professional name of golden shower.
All I remember was Dusty on the brick wall.
Oh, Dad, my friend Dusty, you guys used to pee his whole name on a brick wall at parties in the backyard. He would spell his whole name Dusty in one P.
That's a lot of pee.
That is a lot of pee. Off Summer House for a second, and then we'll finish up with that. Is that I was noticing you guys were doing my nephew Watermelon schooling.
Right.
He came over here because his mom was out of town, and you guys is schooling. I mean, I learned more watching you guys teach him than I've ever learned from you guys in my life.
You learned not to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like I was a warm up. Like, you guys were like doing hit. Like, I didn't know any of the stuff you guys were talking about, and you guys both. How do you guys split up the sections on what to teach him?
Because I saw you both doing it. Dad is the history buff. I mean, I don't touch geography and history. That's all Dad. I'm more English, math, and we were doing logic.
Yeah.
So which is logical. We have a good fit for both of us.
It works out. I enjoy it very much.
But Dad has so much extra knowledge on the history and the geography that he can... give Connor more information, and then at the end he asks him what did you get out of this, and he repeats it back.
Would you ever want to, like, I was walking with him the other night, and I was wanting to have like a really deep discussion, but then you realize kids are kids, you know, like,
yeah.
You always have that imagination of like,
still,
oh, I'm gonna really uncle the shit out of him tonight, and then he just wants to talk about like video games.
Yeah,
you
he's
know?
Still a kid.
No, I know, but
oh, and all day I just that computer all day long. Poor guy.
Yeah, but that's what everybody's
and
doing now. That's what
right
everybody.
In.
Well, that's his future.
And,
yeah, I mean, honestly.
And Addie used to come over.
My
when
niece.
She comes over from school, turn right on the TV.
The Disney Channel.
And now she goes right to the computer also.
Well, it's weird. They're almost built like they have like a hidden hearing where they can hear the TV perfectly and also hear conversations.
Yeah.
Like, they hear what's going on. They just choose
to
ignore you, but then they'll snap.
It's just funny. It really cracks me up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Addison got her braces.
Yeah, she looks horrible, you guys. If you guys see Addison out and about in Gilbert, Arizona, please make fun of her.
They're navy blue.
Oh, I didn't see the color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank God she doesn't smile or you'd see him more.
Yeah. You got her pegged.
Okay, so my mom asked during the show, you guys, if it ever gets boring watching these shows. And it definitely does get boring watching these shows. You do see, like, there's episodes that are better than others. But then sometimes you have an off...
kind of dull.
Yeah, this kind of, like, it feels like an in-between. You just came off, like, a big kind of, like, Luke was having to cry and get back in the house. And so this is kind of like a breathing episode. But I imagine what it's like with sports, where it's just, like, the season just kind of goes on and
sports
on in baseball.
Like, for me, I guess I'm older, it's very boring.
Especially baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. I can't
like
imagine 3 hours.
Yeah. So long.
But, like, the Summer House, it's I mean, I'll watch it and everything, but it kind of draws you in.
Yeah. Now I've got to see what happens.
You know, it draws you in. Like, today was kind of, okay.
But it's like, that's what a soap opera is. It has that soap opera basis where it keeps
Absolutely.
You coming for these little, and if you didn't watch the next 3 episodes and picked it back up, you wouldn't have a hard time figuring out where you were at.
Now, Amanda's still, that was the one with Dez.
No, Amanda's the one with Kyle. They run Loverboy.
Loverboy.
Dez is the comedian, the older comedian that looks like Kyle.
Oh, Dez is
with Hannah.
Comedian?
Yeah, that's what he does in real life, yeah.
He's with Hannah.
He's with Hannah. And they're engaged now.
Okay.
And they're filming the Summer House reunion today, which is Friday when people will hear this tomorrow. They're filming, like, so they do a reunion where everybody gets back and they get a yell at each other. So there'll be a bunch of drama and stuff like that.
Is this still on, Summer House? I mean, no.
We just watched it.
Whoa, No. I mean, you said they're having a reunion.
Yeah. Well, because they filmed this season, like it's been.
But reunion is when everything's over with. And
well, yeah, but
go.
They're. Well, they already know how the season ends. But I'm saying so.
I mean, but it's still new. It's still going.
Yeah, the season's still going. Like, I mean, they'll have probably. I don't know how many more episodes left.
Been like 6 or 7 seasons.
This is its 5th season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I never heard of it till you.
Yeah, and we still don't know if Vanderpump Rules is coming back, but the Tom Tom isn't open, but Sir and Pump are open.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to go out to LA and check it out.
Yeah, no, for real. And
I think I'll go out while your mom's.
And
out
June 15th is
coming.
Yeah. June 15th is when all the.
Go ahead.
June 15th is when everything reopens in Los Angeles, but people have to still wear masks and stuff like that.
When you were talking about the soap operas, I remember my grandmother. That when we'd come back and was going to take us downtown shopping, we couldn't go until after the soap operas were on, her favorite one she watched every single day. And it was like it took forever.
Can't believe you don't watch soap operas still now.
I never got into them because it would aggravate me that I want to go now, Grandma. I want to go now.
This feels like it could be a whole hour if we unpacked all of that.
Yeah. That anxiety.
So how did you feel about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and did you... Did you carry a lot of anger about that your whole life?
Anxiety. It's like, let's go.
Is there anything else that you noticed about the... Because we also watched, when I came into town on Saturday, we watched the last episode, and that's when, we saw... You guys watched that entire episode, too, and Dad pointed out that you said you've never seen guys talk this much with each other.
Oh, yeah. The hugging and...
Yeah, there's a lot of verbal...
Yeah,
Mom's staring at that. Mom's staring at him. Yeah.
But no, it just. But I know it's all part of it, and they're just doing it. They're performing and everything. But it, a lot of hugging going on.
Yeah, but guys,
the Minnesota guy loves to hug.
Luke loves to hug. Yeah.
Luke loves to hug.
Don't you and your buddies hug at bowling?
No.
But see, that's what. But the guys.
God.
But see, guys are different than girls, though. Guys will get into fights and then they'll hug it out the next day, and they don't need to really.
Do they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think guys hold grudges as much as girls hold grudges.
Well, that I agree, but I didn't know the hugging part.
No, I mean, I think when guys do jocular things, you high five and you touch penises,
pat each other on
yeah,
the ass.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
It's macho stuff.
Yeah. Mom, have you ever heard what docking is?
No.
Docking is when it's two men and they take their penises, and one's uncircumcised and one isn't. And then the one man that isn't uncircumcised peels his skin and puts it around the other man's penis. You have to go tip to tip, Mom, or it doesn't. And the first time I did it, it was scary.
TMI,
and then I.
So what's your point?
I thought this was a learning podcast. Oh, yeah.
Great. Now I got to perform.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, let me show. I'll show you. Yeah, yeah. Dad,
Ryan, get in here.
You guys, I had to go cook dinner now.
Okay. Well, is there anything wrapping up? Oh, we're having zoodles because I'm on a diet, zucchini noodles.
And with shrimp.
With shrimp. Yes.
Cool.
It's going to be great. Anything else that you'd
no,
like to say?
No, that was cool. I mean, it was just kind of to me, it was a little thing, but it just fascinates me.
Yeah. And there's
a
whole culture of
people. I like the boating thing, though. That was fun.
Well, that's what I was talking to the producer of Summer House before I came out here tonight, and we hosted a chat room thing with the producer, and he was saying that's his preference is to... He loves when they can show him having a good time. Like,
yeah,
he said sometimes when it gets too bogged down into fights and fights.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good point because, like, when they feel like they have to fight.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I mean, that is. And, well, and he said with this season, you put him in a pressure cooker because it's COVID and you really can't leave except for last week they went to their first restaurant and then they went out on a boat.
Yeah, boat
and that's why they're so happy is because they're really, besides that, trapped there for 6 weeks. with not being able to go out, so that kind of creates a horror.
Mom and I,
that's
like
true.
Yeah, I mean that's what everybody did deal with. I mean,
yeah.
So now we're looking at going to Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
Ooh, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Drive over
there. New Mexico. Is there anything else? Is there anything you want to promote, Mom? Do you have anything you're selling?
I'm good.
Okay, Dad. Anything you're selling?
Just don't hate.
Don't hate. Okay, that's do not hate.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Okay.
Faith and love.
We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye.
I would put the Baileys up against the Kardashians any damn day of the week. I mean, seriously, we could take them. We could take, and there was only three of us Baileys here tonight. We could take the whole Kardashian clan. So let me talk a little bit about tonight's episode, Keeping Up with the Kardashian. The episode is called, it's episode four. It's called New Friends and the Bunker. So the title of this episode is called New Friends and the Bunker. That title shows you how insanely lazy this show has gotten. Guess what this show is about? New friends and a bunker. They're not even trying anymore. That is the problem right there. You're phoning it in, even with the title. Like, even the title is an opportunity to do something good. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? New friends and the bunker? I'm so disappointed. And I have to just, before I tell you every one of these scenes, I think there was one real moment tonight. And the real moment, it was a real moment in the midst of a setup scene. All of these scenes, and I hate to be so negative, the only reason I'm being negative is because I know what this art form can be. I know how good reality shows can be. And I know that they have all the tools to make a good reality show. In fact, I wrote somewhere in the notes here, I was like, did they know? I wonder if they know how bad their own reality show has gotten. Like, do they know how, like, you would think, especially Kim, she seems like she takes pride in everything that she does. Like, where did the pride fall off in terms of your own reality show? Because this thing is a big, flaming, hot turd. Like, did all your attention go to Skims? Like, I don't understand how something gets so bad, and yet it's so glossy. But it's not even glossy in the way that The Hills or Selling Sunset is fun because it's so glossy that it makes you forget everything else. I don't think you can do that with the Kardashians because they live such fascinating lives and we have to read about it all the effing time, like this week with Khloe. That would have made if something like that happened on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they would have made it into a whole season plot. That would have been Lucy apple juice. Like, you know that's the truth too. So many things happen to these people, and that's why it's painful, because at this point, the Kardashians think they're pulling one over on us. They think they're killing this. So when you see Kim and Khloe do a scene about a bunker, and they're like, Khloe's being really, you know, egregious and really big personality, she thinks she's killing it. She thinks she's acting her pants off. Like, for real, I think they think they're good. So they're doing these poorly performed improvisational scenes, but they're not actors. So that feeling you get, and I think to the untrained eye, you would watch this and go, something's off, but I'm not sure what it is. It must be them. But no, the thing that's off is that it's all fake. The thing that's off is that they are acting throughout these scenes and they're improvising. So the dialogue isn't that good, but they think they're doing good. So I feel like it's this weird thing where we're watching them pat themselves on the back for performing poorly and making bad television. It's really meta. If you really think about this, 20 seasons in for this, it's a very meta thing, because just the creepiest thing, the most fascinating thing as well about all of this is that just right there, directly under the surface, is one of the best reality shows that they could make if they wanted to. It's all there. It is all there. I mean, you could just literally tell, like, if I went in tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, stop that. No, no, no. I don't care. I don't care who Courtney's hanging out with. Khloe, what's going on with you and Tristan? What did you, where did you guys wake up together? Tell me about that. What is the worst thing about having pictures of their unedited? Chloe, who does your editing of your pictures? Can we talk to them? Can we do a talking head with that? You know, they have these things that you could craft amazing storylines, but we get this half-baked shit about MJ not being able to have her 86th birthday at like some hotel in La Jolla when it's like it's a pandemic, we know. And also the big crux of that scene is Chris is like, oh, MJ, we can't do a birthday party for her. You have all of the money in the fucking world. Anything is possible. You could buy COVID at this point. You could buy the whole disease. You could buy the whole pandemic with Kardashian money. And they're like, what could we possibly do for MJ? Oh my God, she's in San Diego, 2 hours away. What, like, you could literally buy MJ flying capabilities. I don't mean a private jet. I mean, you could build the technology where MJ could be some kind of like flying Superman. So that is my big monologue before we start the show. So I just want to let you know, it's only anger because I see what it could be. And I see what it's been before. And you, each one of those girls is so fascinating in their own way. Yet we get this bullshit. It's like just war. It's like when you get, when you have leftover, or like it's okay. My ex used to make chicken. She'd make baked chicken, or and it would be always, I would call it sad chicken, because sometimes I would get like, that was what I would come home from work and it would, because it was always like so dried out, and I would call it sad chicken, you know. Do you guys do that? Like, did you have things in your relationships where you would just, the things that you like sad, I would be like, oh no, sad chicken again. I was very lucky to have sad chicken. Okay, so anyways, we open on this really fun scene, you guys, where Kendall and her friend Phi and Kim, they're running around Kendall's house, and her, like, Phi and her dogs are there. She has a Dalmatian, and their dogs lock themselves in their bathroom, and Kendall thinks it's hysterical. Kendall has to go outside and crawl through the bathroom window to get the dogs out, and in this moment, we see how piss poor or how easy it is to get into Kendall's house. Like, it seems like now she just showed us how to do it. And I think she's having stalker issues. So the fact that Kendall was able to walk outside and then get into her bathroom window from the outside, like, if I was Kendall's security, I would have shot anybody that I saw. Like, she should have been shot. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a security on that premises, you see somebody crawling through outside into the indoor bathroom, like, that deserves like a tase or something. Kendall just, and I'm like, no wonder Kendall has issues with stalkers. Seems like it's really easy to get her. But anyways, her dogs like lock themselves in, and she, you know, she gets the dogs out, and it's so fun, and glad the cameras were there to capture this amazing memory. So we do the opening of the credits. So we open up. Courtney, we find out, is having a sleepover with some friends. You know, and she likes to be just in the moment. You know, that's what she's saying. We meet Addison Rae, who is a world-renowned TikToker. She's a TikTok star, you guys. We've talked to her about her on this podcast before. We find out that Mason, Courtney's son, that little pimp, by the way, have you ever, I'm fixated with Mason on my Instagram, and I love the outfits, he likes to wear. It's amazing. Like, he's in like a full mink at one point. You got to see the photos of him walking around Beverly Hills with Kris Jenner going shopping. It is like, someday I know Mason will spit on me. I just know it. Like, it's just, it is sad the show is over, because there is a huge part of me that really wants to see how Mason grows up. I mean, think about it. You got Courtney as the mother. You got Scott Disick as the dad. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. Think about how that's all going to work. So anyway, Addison Rae is over there. And just so everybody knows, Addison is 20 years old. Courtney is in her 40s. Courtney says, Addison and I did a posh exercise video together over quarantine. Poosh. I always think poosh doesn't even exist. Poosh is an actual thing that Kris Jenner made to let Courtney feel like she does something, you know? So I think Courtney doesn't really know how any kind of publication works, but I think it's just one of those things where Courtney will be like, oh, this would be cool for poosh. And then everybody acts like, oh, that was such a great thing you did in poosh. You know, like, I don't think Courtney ever, like, last week, remember when she was doing the article about having Chris and Corey, Chris, her mother and Corey, not have sex for 2 weeks? And she was like writing in a spiral notebook. I'm like last thing I knew, like newspapers or any kind of publication weren't like scrawled out on a notepad. But yeah, I think Poosh is completely in Courtney's head and I cannot be convinced otherwise. So yeah, Addison and her did a Poosh exercise video. We've been working out ever since and she's never left, Courtney says. Harry Hudson is also there. He's a young friend of theirs. So it's Harry, Addison, and Courtney supposedly hang out all the time. Corey Gamble and Chris are there as well. So they're going to play a game, 7 minutes in heaven, and that's that thing where you spin the bottle and then you go in a room with somebody. And I never got invited to play it, but I think it's... Do you really? Is it like you go into a closet for 7 minutes and just make out? 7 minutes is a long time, isn't it? Like, that's a long time, 7 minutes. I mean, it's a lifetime. So, but anyways, you think that's exciting right there because you're like, oh my God, is she going to get Addison? What's going to happen? It's like, no, they just say they're playing it and then nothing happens. Addison, Courtney, they're just kind of like, really smiley and laughy around each other, you know? Courtney at a Talking Head says, during quarantine, everyone had their own group. And I had mine, and mine was Addison and Harry. It's just nice to have good, positive energy around you. And I'm like, Courtney, do you mean young skin? I think Courtney's confusing energy with skin that's young. Courtney's like, oh my God, your skin looks amazing. What young energy? What good energy? I'm like, that's young energy, Courtney. Like, Courtney could be an energy vampire. Oh my God, do you guys watch the TV show What We Do in the Shadows on FX? Highly recommend it. But there is there's vampires in it, but then there's also an energy vampire that sucks the energy out of people and just bores the shit out of them. It's such a great character. But I kind of think Courtney could potentially be an energy vampire and she just sucks the life of everybody around her. And that's why she's always so composed, just because she's sucking in energy and storing it. So they all run outside and they're all in two pieces and they're all writhing around like they're doing like Britney Spears dance moves by the pool. And it's a lot like, you know, what 20-year-olds do with each other, except Courtney's there and she's 40 years old, which I'm, you know, age is what it is. It sucked. But I will say Courtney has a great body. She does. Great body. And by the way, if you really are blessed to have the life that Courtney does, you damn well better have a good body. You have the time for a good body. That's why Rob Kardashian sometimes is such a disappointment to me, because it's like, if you really wanted it, you could pay people to move your arms and legs for you. You know, like, you're going to move it. Take this step here. Take this. You could have somebody. It's, I don't know. So anyway, she looks great. And then Courtney's like, we're going in the fucking ocean, you loser. And then all of a sudden we get a shot of Corey Gamble all of a sudden in a swimsuit, and he's holding hands with the three girls. This is night, and they run into the ocean. It is truly eerie. Kris Jenner must have stayed inside. What the fuck is up with Corey Gamble? Like, honestly, like, last week we had him all over Kris Jenner, which is fine, but he's like, yeah, I want to suck those rumps and lick the sweat juices from, like, he's just that guy that's always like, oh, did you just go number one or number two? It doesn't matter. I want all of you. That's a poet and you didn't know it. You know, he's just so up in everybody's grill, but he's always just there. He's like this omnipotent presence that just is kind of like there. And then all of a sudden you like see him run into the ocean with three bikini clad girls. Two of them like look like they're in their 20s. And then Courtney, it's just weird. Like, Chris is like cool with this shit. Like, Corey always seems to... And do you notice also Corey's relationship with Kylie Jenner? Did you see that episode last season when her and Kendall got into a fight because didn't want to drop Kendall off from the Palm Springs house because Corey was driving back with Kylie? It's a weird relationship. We're going to... This is a So Bad It's Good promise, and whoever really likes the show and is keeping track, write this down. Something will happen with Corey Gamble in the next 3 years that will make it very weird that he was, that we'll go back and watch scenes like this and go, oh God, I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, I feel it in my bones. So the next scene, we get some home video footage of MJ, which is so funny because this week MJ supposedly is the one that accidentally released that photo of Chloe untuned. So I just loved. And in this little scene, home video, it goes, "Oh, Chris, don't take my picture." And I was like, damn, that is so telling for what just happened with MJ releasing this photo of Chloe accidentally. So new scene, Chris is playing the piano horribly. MJ calls and Chris is like, "Hey, what's up?" And MJ's like, "I was just thinking of going to San Diego. And if you wanted to come have a birthday party at the Hotel La Valencia." And Chris says, "I think about your age and you have underlying conditions. It worries me for you to go to in public." Because remember, folks, we're still in a pandemic. This was filmed months and months ago. MJ says, I'm going to go with my friends. And MJ talks about how scary it is for older people. And it damn well is, man. My grandma's 97 years old. And, you know, we have her in a nursing home in Columbus, Ohio. And fortunately, I don't even think my grandma realized there was a pandemic. But, you know, my dad wasn't able to go see her every month like he used to. And he's actually going for the first time next month. So I'm really interested to see how that is. Maybe I'll see if I can get my dad to get my grandma on the podcast. That might be the oldest person that I've ever had on the podcast. Wow. So Chris is kind of doing some prop comedy with the piano. She's tickling the ivories. But basically, Chris is like, "Well, we'll figure out something to do for your birthday." Okay, so we know that's a plot line. New scene. Courtney is with Addison. Addison is doing backward somersaults on the trampoline. Chloe and Malika are watching them, and they're like, "We've never seen Courtney smile this much." We see Courtney and Addison playing cornhole. Scott Disick comes. They are all saying, Scott goes, "We've never seen her this happy." So obviously the director said, "Okay, guys, in this next scene, you're going to go, 'You've never seen Chloe so happy,' and stuff like that." And so we get them saying the same line from different people over and over again. Like Malika go, "I've never seen Courtney so happy." And then Scott comes in, "I've never seen Courtney so happy." Do you know what I'm saying? Like, once you see it's like seeing the Matrix. You see how all this works and you're like, "Oh, I know exactly what they did for this scene." Like, there is a goal of this scene. Because remember, they also have huge lights. And in fact, a couple of the scenes in this episode, you can see all the crewmen in the background moving lights. This thing, for as good as they look, remember, that takes a lot of lighting. That's not just a natural camera that can pick that up. You need lots of lighting. So Chloe, they're continually talking about Courtney, and they're saying, "We know Court had a fragile year last year, but I'm seeing her now and she's really happy." And Malika and Scott say, "Yeah, a hell of a lot better than she was." And Mason is sitting there. Mason is actually playing with Courtney and Addison. Talk about weird, you know, if Mason's close to puberty at all, just talk about what a weird vibe that is for, you know, if he has a crush on Addison, for Addison now to be his mom's best friend. Like, think about how bizarre that is. Think about whoever you had a crush on growing up in whatever town you did. And then think about your mom or dad being friends. Think about if you loved, like, I don't know, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And then all of a sudden your dad comes home and you're like, "Hey, did I introduce you to my new best friend, Jonathan Taylor Thomas?" You're like, "I always thought you were an adult, Dad, and you're hanging out with this Jonathan Taylor Thomas." You know, it would be weird is what I'm saying. So they're all just a little curious, though, what, you know, could possibly have in common since of the age difference. And Kim and Chloe say, "We question everything and everyone, no matter who it is." Yes, girls. Yes, they do that in a talking head. Malika says, "I thought I had to date younger when in reality I just needed a younger friend." Great job, Malika. Scott said, "Well, I did have a 21-year-old girlfriend." And guys, I shit you not, you would think it would be dead silence and there would be crickets. Nobody even picks it up that he said that. It just moves on. And I'm like, yeah, Scott, and guess what? You're probably a month away from having another one, Miss Amelia Bedelia. So he doesn't even have Amelia yet. And he's talking about, "I had a 21-year-old girlfriend." Like, age don't mean shit to rich people. Wild. We also watch a helicopter land on a yacht. Chloe goes, "I need to go find out who my new husband is." new scene. We see Kim answer the phone. She takes a deep breath it's Jonathan Cheban, food god, on the other line. And she goes, Jonathan, what just happened? Calm down. And we hear Jonathan go, they came with a gun. They stole my watch. I'm freaking out. I'm in New Jersey. And Kim goes, slow down. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. And he's like, of course I called the cops. They put a gun to my mom's head. Kim says, I've never heard Jonathan cry over the phone. And yeah, probably not, because you're used to, he's had so much cheese in his mouth most of the time, probably. He keeps saying, I'm freaking out. And then Kim goes, come to LA. You'll be safe here. I love you. And then hangs up. Guys, here's the deal. Food God really did have something like that happen. It really did happen, I believe. But I believe this audio call is a setup audio call. I believe this happened after the fact, because Jonathan, he sounds frantic, but he doesn't sound sobbing. And also, what friend goes, I'm going to hang up the phone with you now, come to LA, I hope you're all right in New York. And also, we have to wonder, there is a full camera crew there in lighting just for this scene. They just happened to get Kim on the couch, and then the phone rang just at the right time when they were already filming. Like, so if the phone didn't ring, we're to assume that we were just going to get shots of Kim looking at the ocean for the day. Do you know what I'm saying? Once you see The Matrix, once you find out how the sausage is made. So it's a real bummer, but I mean, it did happen. So I think they're like, it did happen though. And I did call Kim, so it's fine if we reenact it. We get a new scene. Court and Addison, they're talking about their workouts. Chloe comes out to eat. And Courtney, of course, is picking at a salad and a bowl, as she does. And Court says, oh, look, it's Chloe, my favorite in the Court says, my favorite person in the world other than my kids, when Chloe sits down. And Chloe says, I thought you were going to say that to Addison. And they're all laughing. And Court says someone posted a jogging video of them. And then they're just laughing. Like, Courtney and Addison are just sharing laughter back and forth. And it really does seem a little bit like they bang. You know, there is something there. And I don't want to really encourage it. But everybody's right to wonder. It is very interesting. I don't know. And by the way, that's what I'm talking about. Just directly, if you scratch the surface, there could be some great reality there that is so weird and eerie. It's just sitting right there. So Chloe goes, oh, Courtney, do you know Suzanne Summers lives right around here? And she's like, you should have a thigh master on the beach and see if she comes. Because that's Suzanne Summers' old thing, that in Three's Company. But of course, Addison has no fucking idea what Chloe is talking about. And Courtney just kind of blows off Chloe. And Addison goes, I think I can read Courtney's mind. And Addison goes, Courtney's always thinking of the bigger picture. And I'm like, what, Addison? Addison, oh my God, you must be drunk. That's hysterical. Kim and Chloe in the talking head say, God, they're just a mystery to us. And then they cut back to them and they're just laughing still, all stupid. So new scene. Rob is in this scene, you guys. Kim, Rob, Court, Kendall, a dog, Chris, Chloe, a lot of people. Jonathan steps out and he goes, this place is paradise. I can't believe you landed in this jackpot. Corey Gamble is also there. Scott Disick comes in. Food God is like, well, okay, the story is I went to the Americana in Long Island with my mom, and then we drove back to Jersey, and it's a really nice neighborhood, and then we park, and I see a guy randomly come up, and he's like, you know what time it is? And I'm like, no, I don't know what time it is. And then all of a sudden, I'm stuck between two cars, and somebody's right behind me, and they've like, you know, and then when the guy rips the watch right off my wrist. It sounds really scary. We get a flashback to Kim's robbery in Paris, and Kim goes, I never heard him cry like this. And then Kim goes, you're safe. It's over. And Mason is there sitting next to Scott. And I'm just like, we need a Mason Disick tell-all book. We need it so bad. We need it so. And by the way, I need it now. I'd be willing to put up with spelling errors and things like that. I'd even be willing for him just to talk into a tape recorder and I'll transcribe it for everybody. But we need it. Because imagine the the conversations they have around Mason, the shit he has witnessed, even just with Kanye and stuff like that, it's mind-blowing what that kid knows, you know? Chris is just looking into the distance this whole time that Food God is speaking, and I'm like, I wonder if Chris is thinking about, like, all the people she's had killed in her life for, like, harming her family. And I wonder if Chris is, like, sitting there going, should I call out the troops for Food God? Nah. Fuck that guy, right? You know, so, okay, new scene. It's Mason, Chloe, and Kim. we hear Kim and Chloe talk about their Instagram posts. And Kim goes, two of my other posts are so close to getting 4 million likes. I'm at 3.99. So I don't know if I should post something else right now to try to get those past 4 million. And Chloe says, well, yeah, post. That might attract more people to come to your page. Jesus, like this is the conversations they have. So you're like, this really gives you a peek into the insanity where this is, we know exactly why Coco blew up this week. These guys pay attention to it so much. And that's what I'm saying. The big solution to Chloe's issue is just stay offline. You know what I would do? I would go online. I would show Chloe all of her bank accounts and how much money she has and how she's awesome and set for life. And then I would take her phone away and say, go enjoy the fuck out of your life. You do not need to be held down by this any longer. Because what's the end goal? What are we going for here? What at this point does Chloe think she's going to do? Is she think there's some prize for the hottest Kardashian that she's gunning for at some point? Like, go live your awesome, amazing life. You're going to be great. Why do this to yourself? So Chloe says, or Kim tells Mason, she's like, I called your mom and Addison was over and I said I needed to talk to you, Courtney, and she acted like she was really interested. And then she was like, okay, I'll call you back. Addison is here. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense and understandable. And then she thinks she's hung up the phone, but I hear her say, that was my sister Kim. She won't shut up and get off the phone. She's always blabbing. I mean, maybe that happened, but so Kim is saying this to Chloe and Mason. Mason, like Mason's hearing Kim potentially talk shit about his mom. It's amazing. We find out that Courtney is a vault. She's always been like this. And we know that Courtney really, I don't think Courtney is a vault. So not a vault so much, but just somebody that doesn't have a lot of thoughts going through that vault. So there's nothing to really retrieve from the vault. In fact, when I think about her and Travis Barker, I just think like their conversations must be, Hey, do you want vegan food? This is good. Pass me the bread. You look hot in your leather jacket. Do you? Okay. I'll roll up my windows now. Like, it's just like, I nod off when I think about them as a couple, and I don't, like, Not Skinny Not Fat really pushes them. In fact, I think they're getting paid. I think Not Skinny Not Fat is getting paid by Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian. It's the only, like, who gets that excited about Travis and Kourtney? And I think she's, like, drumming up excitement for a couple that's like, no, it's okay. We don't have to like every celebrity couple that gets together. If two people have each made over $1 million, that does not mean we need to give a shit, you know? Sorry, I can't believe that I'm talking. This is my life. This is crazy. So, new scene. We meet Ron Hunter. He works for Atlas Bunker. He makes bunkers. Chloe and Kim FaceTime with this guy, and Chloe looks like she's on Adderall in the scene. She's like, hey, Ron. And, you know, Kim's like, well, I had to look into survival shelter and see what my options are because this is a fake storyline and we need something to spice up this episode. Kim says, I found this guy on the internet. He builds bunkers. Chloe's like, hey, Ron, tell us about this bunker. And he goes, it can survive everything. You know, he goes, I sold one today for 40 people. For you guys, I would do 6 to 7 bedrooms, a living room, den with couches, you know. And then he goes, why don't you come check out the one that you can see? It's like a Cold War era bunker. Kim says, I know this seems silly, but we should really check it out. And then Chloe's like, hey, Ron, you look cute. She's trying to be the funny one. Okay, so new scene. Courtney calls MJ, and MJ's like, it's been a while. You can tell Courtney doesn't call her grandma unless she's asked to for TV. And Courtney goes, I know, I missed you. Courtney goes, your birthday is coming up. Do you have any plans? Duh, we know that this is the scene that fills in the gap between what MJ told Kris Jenner she wanted to do and Kris saying no, and now we're going to get this little discussion from Courtney. So MJ's like, yeah, for my birthday, I'm going to release real photos of all of you guys. No, she didn't say that. She said, Courtney goes, MJ, you should live the life the way you think. Don't listen to my mom about what she said. And I'm like, shit, dude, Courtney is an anti-masker, isn't she? Courtney is a full-on QAnon person, I bet. because Courtney was like, oh, pandemic schmandemic. Go live your life, MJ. MJ's an 86-year-old woman. Okay. New scene. Addison is there at a lunch, and Courtney isn't there. All the ladies, the whole family called Addison to have lunch without Courtney just to feel things out. Addison just smiles and is weird. We find out she moved from Louisiana with her family in December. And Chloe goes, what do you do to make Courtney so happy? Kim says, are you guys hooking up? And Scott said, that's the elephant in the room. It's okay if you are. I love how hip Scott is. Scott's like, I've nailed under 18-year-olds, so it's totally cool if Courtney does that. We'll just call it even, right? Totally cool. I'd love to watch. Chris, by the way, Chris in this episode just stares a lot. Chris has these sunglasses, and she's just staring again. So we're now in a new scene. They keep talking about MJ's birthday. And this is like the point where I was like, they could buy MJ the whole state of California if they wanted to. So fuck off with this like fake worrying about what we're going to do for MJ's birthday, you know? Rob is in another scene. We get Rob in three scenes. He only has a couple lines, but he's there, I guess. Give him credit for that. And Rob goes, hey, where's the chicken nuggets? And Mason goes, I'm a pescatarian. Rob says, Mom, you okay? You seem a little stressed today. Chris goes, ugh. Just worried about this MJ situation. I don't want to deprive her of a party on her big day. You know what? I'm thinking Malibu would be the perfect place. Years and years ago, she used to go to the Hotel Del Coronado and listen to this guy play piano and sing songs. He played at Poppy's Memorial. All she does is talk about this guy. As a surprise, I will get this guy. Rob says, you should get her a guy to hook up with, too. And at this point, I was like, this family is just limping to the finish line of this series. It's just like, I feel like at this point, people in the scenes should be giving the cameras looks like Jim Halpert and out The Office of like, can you believe this shit, you know? New scene, Chloe and Kim are driving to the bunker in the desert. Kim is in bright yellow neon, which I thought was interesting. Kim says, 2020 has been crazy. And Jonathan got robbed. So it's really freaked me all out. I love when Kim goes, 2020 has been crazy. So they're at an undisclosed location. They have sirens. They're saying it's an emergency so they can run into this bunker and shut the door. And I got to tell you, this bunker looks less scary than Kanye's mansion that he built for Kim and him. But Chloe, of course, is already bitching about it. But it looks like it looks better than my, it looks better than my living situation. It's 86 degrees in there and the temperature keeps going up. They're making survival food. Chloe's bitching about it. Kim is studying for the bar. Chloe goes, I'm watching the minutes inch on by and I'm wondering what the hell I'm going to do here. And Chloe, you nailed it. That sentence is exactly what I was thinking at that time, saying I'm watching the minutes inch by and I'm wondering what the hell I'm doing here. Chloe says, can we just be done with this game? And I was like, I hope they're making each other laugh and I hope they're having a blast filming it because it is not fun to watch. And I know I'm not the only one that thinks this. I know it. So new scene, Courtney says to Kim and Chloe, you didn't tell me you invited Addison to lunch by yourselves. And Court says, what is your obsession with us? And Chloe says, we are being proactive and want to find out what you guys are doing. And, how does she pull out a better attitude with you than we do? And Courtney says, I'm really content with my life. Courtney says, when you choose to hang out with someone, your energy gets better. And she goes, I'm a young heart with an old soul. You can't be both. It's either your old soul or it can't be, I'm a really young heart and an old soul. No, you're an old soul, you're old everything. If you're a young soul, you have a young heart. You know, it's just Courtney's bending and twisting things. And Courtney goes, we all have such a good circle of people around us. It's not about age. It's about energy and vibes. Yeah, that's exactly what I say as I get older too. I go, okay, guys, it's not about age. It's about energy and vibes. I swear to God, if I ever see Kanye West, I will say I love The College Dropout and a lot of his music, but I will also say, do you ever regret teaching the Kardashians to say the words vibe? They say vibe so much after they met Kanye, and it's like they say vibes so much that I'm thinking they're going to try to trademark it. Kim asks Courtney who David Dobrik is, who wished, I guess Courtney wished him a happy birthday on social. And of course, we're like, we met Addison through David. Cause, Mason loves David and they hang out, and then we know Mason loves Addison. So David called Addison and made her hide in a trunk, and then on a video popped out and surprised Mason. Rough. So that's, I mean, so Courtney does hang out with TikTokers and YouTubers and lions and tigers. Oh my. New scene. We have a flashback of MJ through the years. MJ is now at the Malibu place, and we're celebrating her birthday at this Malibu place. It's very well decorated. She hasn't seen her friends in so long, so this will be fun. They're all wearing decorative hats. Rob is there. They have a clinic set up there so everyone can be rapid tested. This is real money, folks. They are rapid testing everybody. The Kardashians, I would love to know how many COVID tests they've gotten through this last year. I got to tell you, and I'm not joking. God, I would guess for like 8 or 9 of Kardashians, conservatively 800. I'm not even joking. Think about it. Think they probably get tested a couple times a day when doing the show and doing events. New scene. Chris says, Rick Ross is here. It's her favorite musician. And I'm like, what? MJ, fucking Rick Ross, the rapper? And it turns out Rick Ross is the piano player. I really almost had I almost panicked. I was like, MJ's a Rick Ross fan? And I almost believed it. I was like, oh my God, she's going to go home with Rick Ross tonight, isn't she? So it's her 86th birthday, and Chris says, to be in this magical setting, this beautiful day with my beautiful mom, you know, to live in the second, it means the world to me. It was a really nice speech. This was the real moment. You know, I was talking earlier that there was a real moment. This was it. Chris toasts her mom. She tears up. That was real. That was real. That was a real moment. And MJ says, I only want to say to all of you, this is overwhelming and too much happiness. I wish I could hug and kiss all of you. And she also says, but not you, Corey. No, I'm joking. She says, I wish I could hug and kiss all of you. And she goes, how wonderful life is when you're in this world. And I thought that was really deep. And I don't know if she meant in this world as like in the Kardashian world, or if she meant the world. But I thought this was a nice, like, I give it to him. They got a nice minute of content here. And MJ goes, perfect day, Chris, perfect day. Kim says, I have a lot to learn from my grandma. She knows how to live life and not let it get the best of her. Kim doesn't want to be an anxious person waiting for the next bad thing to happen, so she's decided against the bunker. We also find out that Kim Kardashian got MJ a Toto toilet. Toto toilets are awesome. I've used them when I went to Japan a bunch, and they do fun things, like they'll shoot water into your bunghole and they'll heat the water. It's a really cool thing. It's an aspirational thing someday that I would like to get, that and my own personal Peloton. So Addison, Courtney in a new scene are all dressed shimmery. They say the vibe today is Disney princess. And I'm like, girl, oh my God, pay your insurance. And then they show the girls, Addison and Courtney, they learned a handshake together. We see the handshake. It's not shit. You know, Chloe says she's an incredible girl. We find out that Addison has been dancing since she was 6. Kim says Addison is so genuine, so nice, a good person and a good friend. I do wonder sometimes if they are going to produce an Addison Rae reality show. And this was kind of the introduction, if you will, to that, almost like a backdoor pilot, like how Beverly Hills Vanderpump Rules was a backdoor pilot for Beverly Hills, because they added that second hour on that one episode, and the way Summer House was a backdoor, what was right after Vanderpump Rules, you know, how they snuck that in and you thought you were watching a 2-hour Vanderpump Rules, and then they snuck this Summer House show and you're like, what the fuck is this? I didn't sign up for this shit, you know? Now I love Summer House. So, Kim, I wonder what Travis Barker thinks about Addison Rae. Do you ever think about that? So you guys, the next episode, we get the preview for it, and Chris goes, I got a call from Caitlin. She would like help with her career. Yeah, baby, it's me. Woo-hoo! I want to get in the spotlight, baby. It's me. Hey, Chris, ring-a-ding-ding. Hey, it's me, Caitlin. Would you help me with my career? Could you introduce me to Addison Rae? I want a TikTok. Whoa, yeah, baby. And then Tristan and Chloe do a UFO watch. Like, I'm already mad at next week's episode. Okay, you guys, that is the recap, and I'm going to kick it right to my friend Megan, who is a lawyer. I cannot reveal her last name because she has a real job as, you know. So, but anyways, she was on the Jen Shah call, and I wanted to play this. I think it's a nice little 20-25 minute interview, and it'll take you into the weekend. I love you guys. Thank you for sticking with me. I am tired. I am going to go to bed, and after I'll edit all of this stuff. But I hope you guys have the best weekend ever. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for choosing to listen to this. I know your ears have a lot of choices these days. Everybody seems to be doing this. Thank you for sticking with me. I will talk to you on Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, as we know, one of the top stories in Housewives world of the last decade has happened this past week, I think, with Jen Shah's arrest for, we everybody's involved. The FBI, Homeland Security, the Southern District of New York has a case against her. And I overslept the phone call that happened on Friday, and you could actually call in to actually listen to the proceedings. And a friend of the pod, my friend Megan, who's also a lawyer, not in Utah, but a lawyer. You were back on the show last time with Tom Girardi, now Jen Shah. Something is in the water with the Housewives.
I mean, just think, if you had your pod back when Teresa was in trouble too. So I think this is going to keep me visiting the pod from time to time.
Are we allowed to dial into every court case known to man? Like, can I do this with any court case, even people I don't know?
Well, there are some proceedings that are public. I mean, think back to the OJ case. There are public proceedings. Courts can limit and give press passes and limit who has access, but the arraignment on Friday was open to the public. So there were, I believe, hundreds of folks on the line listening in.
Talk about Willy Wonka.
They got smart.
What's that?
They got smart this time, though, after the snafu the 2 days before.
So Wednesday
and,
they
had
did
everybody automatically muted.
Yeah, so Wednesday they did the original hearing, and they did not expect that many Bravo fans to be on the call at all. And Jen Shah supposedly couldn't get on the call after she had been on the call. So Friday, everybody was automatically muted. So what time did you get up to get on the call? Was it hard to get on the call? Did you have to buy a StubHub ticket? How did you get there?
Well, the arraignment started 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, so I just set my alarm at 7:30, and I dialed in 15 minutes prior because I knew they'd open up the line a bit early, and I didn't want to get shut out after what happened earlier in the week.
So, I mean, you're muted, so you're not able to make small talk, but like, who else is here? Let's all say where we're from.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer because I heard, and I didn't dial into the one earlier in the week, I heard folks weren't on mute, including maybe Wendy Williams, so I think that really was probably the call to be on in terms of hilarity from unintended participants.
Now, did you learn anything from this phone call? I mean, did they map out what she is guilty of? What is she guilty of? What is the case against her, or what are they trying to prove? What are the allegations?
Sure, of course. She is obviously innocent until proven guilty, her and Sue Chains. And really, as you listened into the arraignment on Friday, they, you know, asked her, how did she plead and how did Sue Chains plead on the count? She has one count of conspiracy to money launder and one count of wire fraud. So that's what you heard in terms of what was alleged against her. They both waived their rights to have the indictment read. So everyone on the phone didn't get to hear exactly the details of the indictment. But
oh, I would have booed. Like, I mean, play to the crowd a little bit, right? Like, you got 300 people on the line. Give them a little show, you know?
You know, and it was really funny because I don't think the judge and the attorneys were as sensitized to, you know, the glory that is Real Housewives. But definitely the clerk who opened up the line was, because something that was funny that happened before everything got started was Jen's. She appeared live from Utah, notwithstanding the fact she is also represented by counsel in D.C. and New York. And the person in Utah who she was sitting with said, look, if we get disconnected, let me give you my cell phone number so you can call us back, you know, wanting to be very cooperative. And the clerk had to say, you know, there are hundreds of people on the line and this is a public arraignment. I think you want to just email me your number.
Yeah, I mean, every Bravo meme account had a pen and paper ready to write that number down. What are the charges against her specifically? Because I know they didn't read it, but I know we know what those charges are.
Sure. So, you know, it's wire fraud and money laundering. Wire fraud just means that the federal crime involves mailing or electronically transmitted something associated with fraud. And then money laundering just means that you've taken ill-gotten gains and through a series of transactions put them in another account to make it look like clean money. That doesn't tell you a whole heck of a lot. So what we know from the actual deceptive practices that are alleged to be engaged in, and this is from a Department of Justice press release and also from the filings themselves, is that from 2012 until March of 2021, Jen and Stu Chains are alleged to have participated in deceptive telemarketing practices, which involved selling leads to folks of people, generally speaking, that were 55 and up with no debt. They called these whales. And then these individuals were sold basically fake companies. They were told, we're going to sell you this company and you're just going to make a lot of money. And this was deceptive. And then what would happen is these people who had paid money to make money, obviously don't get anything out of it. They've been defrauded. And then allegedly what also happened is they would then take the names of those people who were now in credit card debt or in debt for having participated in this deceptive practice, and then resold their names to people who would try to like then help get them out of debt. So
wow,
you know, really, really serious allegations. We learned on the call that this has resulted in, I believe, $5 million of proceeds that were in a shell company that Jen was found to have debit card access to. And we also learned on the call from the government that Jen and Stu are really alleged to be kind of the kingpins at the top of this scheme. There was a 2019 case with 10 defendants that were also involved in this that's also already been brought forward.
Wait, so she...
Stu's at the top.
If this all happened with people that were under her, she had to have known this was coming.
Well, yeah, that's what I think. You know, certainly the 2019 case where four people involved have pled guilty. One individual I read today has already entered in a plea. They had to know this was coming. And I wonder if some of the things that we know as Bravo fans, for example, the fact that she did not own the chalet, but rather rented it, you know, is kind of demonstrating to us that maybe she knew that this was coming and maybe she's handling her assets in a particular way, knowing they could be at risk.
Wow. So, I mean, Stu Chains, though, is her number one Shaw squad. He doesn't look like he could be the top of any chain. So it's shocking that he potentially will serve 30 years, which is that's the maximum sentence, right, for the one count of?
So 30 years is a maximum count, I believe, for wire fraud, 20 years maximum for money laundering. So we're talking about real time. You know, we have other defendants who have pled guilty that will be getting time. So I think that this is a situation where there's real jail time on the line. And it's interesting what you say about Stu. I think that I think he could turn on Jen here. I think we could see some real.
Well, in your lawyerly opinion, is that what you would recommend? I mean, is that how the government works in that case, is now trying to get somebody like Stu to like testify against Jen since she's in the number one position? Or will Jen say it's all Stu? Will they fight? Will they turn against each other? Because I also noticed on that call, there were a couple things that Jen cannot do. She is not supposed to get drunk. She is not, which is like hard for Jen, and the defendants are not supposed to have any contact with each other. Is that right?
That's right. There are a number of conditions, and we can pick those apart in a moment. But as it relates to Stu, yes, she's not permitted to talk to the other co-defendants in the case, and they have to obviously be separately represented. So we heard on the phone, and it was very interesting. It seemed as though the judge was intimating that Sue and his counsel were much more cooperative than Jen and her counsel. So they will be treated differently. And I mean, I think this happens all the time. Again, not a criminal lawyer, but I don't think it's uncommon for defendants to turn on one another to get an easier sentence or better treatment.
That's what all the law shows do. That's what they do in the law shows.
Yeah, I'm a corporate lawyer. We don't do that. But, you know, we could definitely, I think, see that. She also, one of the conditions is she can't contact defendants or anyone who participated in this or was potentially a victim of this either.
Now, Bravo came out with a statement today saying they will legally put in as much of this process as they can. I know they October 18th is when this date starts. Why so long? It feels like it's a long time between this and October 18th.
I don't think that sounds like a very long time at all. I think, again, I'm not a specialist in this area of law, but there's going to be a lot of discovery. They certainly are going to need to figure out where her assets are. I heard on the call that she had listed her assets as zero, which the judge thought was that her financial statement provided was incredibly unreliable. So there's going to be discovery. You know, in these cases, my understanding is they don't always go to trial. So she could plea, you know, once she sees the writing on the wall, there could be a plea deal or something else before we even get to that trial date.
Is she allowed to get Botox during this time?
Well, interestingly, one of the conditions is that she's not able to spend more than $5,000 at a time.
Ooh.
That would be some pretty intense Botox. As a user of the Botox myself, I've never come close to that in a sitting, but it could, you know, it could limit some of her other more pricey
Well, Jen Shaw, anytime she takes a poop, that's $5,000. Like, I mean, that girl spends money like it's out of style. I mean, we saw even in Vegas, she did a whole Heather Gay fashion show where she brought in clothes just to let Heather pick them out. And I'm sure that she paid for all of that.
But I think Heather did an interview saying that she didn't get anything.
Oh, really?
She didn't buy Heather anything.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Oh, that's so sad.
Because none of it was in Heather's size. It was all pulled for Jen.
Oh, how awkward. That's not how gifts work at all. Okay, so how does it look? I mean, is this something like, so she, Jen Shaw, is already reposting all these people wishing her well. She is fighting this. She says she is not guilty. What could possibly have, I mean, is there any way that Jen Shaw could have misunderstood what she was doing? What is the case that you think they'll go with to protect her?
You know, I'm honestly not sure. I think that, you know, since there was this other case that's proceeding, that the facts don't look good for her, I'm not sure what they'll do. I think she's going to be a challenge for her attorneys to manage. I think.
You think?
I think that she should get off of social media immediately and have a very low profile, not film, maintain her innocence. And she's working with very reputable and well-known attorneys that I'm sure will give her the best chance possible. But I think that she would be well-served to not be posting what she's posting.
How does she pay her attorneys if she can only spend $5,000 at a time?
I think there are exceptions. It has to be approved by the court. I think that's something the court would approve. There's also exceptions. For example, she was deemed a flight risk. That was an interesting part of the conversation, actually. Her lawyers argued that she was not a flight risk because of her public persona. Like, she really couldn't go anywhere.
she's hounded everywhere. She's like Bronwyn from OC, yeah.
Yeah, and that she shouldn't have to, you know, she has a $1 million recognizance bond, but also had to back it up with $250,000 worth of assets plus two financially responsible co-signers. And she was arguing she shouldn't have to do that. She's not really a flight risk.
Didn't they say it would take 2 weeks for them to get $250,000 together?
Yeah, but the argument, they gave them a week, and then he was like, can we have 2 weeks? Because, like, we're in Utah and it's COVID time. that was interesting. But yeah, the judge basically was like not impressed with the fact that she's a public figure and, you know, it would be difficult to flee. She also, interestingly, has an expired passport.
Yeah, so she said she couldn't.
Planning on doing any interesting cast trips.
That's a very fine detail that really kind of like everybody can kind of relate to in a way of like, oh, wow, I have an expired passport. You know, like that's stars. They're just like us.
I don't know. If I'm on Real Housewives, some of the trips they used to take were pretty great. I want my passport fired up and ready to go.
Well, I am curious. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say there were some other interesting conditions too. And I think people really glommed on to the, you know, the $250K and the co-signers and the fact that she said no assets and that she owned no real property, which we all knew about the chalet was being rented. But I think there were some Instagram posts that she made where she said that they had, she had other real property. So, you know, kind of get off her back on the chalet. You know, was that who's she telling the truth to? But there were some other conditions that I thought were interesting and people didn't really glom onto. One related to, you're talking about substance use, but she has to continue treatment at Lion Rock, which is a substance abuse facility. And they said that she's been being treated, receiving mental health treatment since her father passed away. So
That's mental treatment, not alcohol or drug.
Well, I Googled Lion Rock. I'm not familiar with it. And it appears to be in like a virtual or online-based substance abuse recovery center.
Hmm.
But I've also read articles where they've characterized it as mental health treatment. I'm not sure exactly.
So that's interesting. I mean, wow, that is very interesting. Okay, so now she's able to go film a season. This is hanging over her head, and she does not have to answer back to any court until October 18th. So we've got this huge period of time, which is what now? We're in April, and then you got, what, like five, six months to just mess around and wait for – your lawyers are building a case. What is she allowed to do? Is she allowed to – I hear she's allowed to keep her lash business going. Is that true?
Yeah, so let's talk about what she can do and where she can go. So she's really needs to stay in the state of Utah unless she can travel to New York or to D.C. only to meet with her attorneys that and to work on the case and for her defense. So that's the only time she can travel because that's where her legal counsel is based. So that means no, you know, cast trips or the like, but it doesn't limit what she's doing in state. And then they also talked about what businesses she can and cannot do. Obviously, she cannot do anything related to telemarketing. That's done. She can't do anything that has to do with that. And she also can't have anyone else's personal information or transact, take credit cards or transact business related to that. So then they talk to the judge about, well, is that too limiting? Because, you know, what is her job? Like, what is her? And then this also came up in the context of what is her income? And so they characterized her as an entrepreneur, and she was able to continue with her beauty business, her lashes business. And then they also talked about, well, she's also a cast member on Real Housewives, and that comes with an income as well. And then I think all the Bravo fans had bated breath waiting to hear, like, what was her contract for the first year?
Yeah.
But the judge was then, like, I don't know if the clerk, like, elbowed the judge or what. But then they were very quick to say, you don't need to say what, you know, basically Bravo pays you. And I think there was a collective groan.
What was the judge's tone?
I mean, I think, you know, serious. I don't think the judge, felt like she was anything special. I did get a sense that the judge felt that Stu Chains and his counsel had been more cooperative than Jen and hers.
Mm-hmm.
It felt at least that perhaps they were a little more, you know, sympathetic or felt that they were getting more cooperation from their counsel. But, you know, it was also a bit chaotic. We joked about the arraignment that was canceled 2 days prior because folks weren't on mute. But like this one was also pretty chaotic from a technological standpoint too. It was late getting started because people couldn't figure out that you can't like dial into a Zoom from your phone and computer at the same time or else you'll get an echo.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of hard just listening in from an audio perspective to follow who was speaking at all times. And then also there was some technological difficulties.
How often did she speak, Jen Shah herself?
Jen Hsiao spoke only a few times. She had to waive orally the right to have the indictment read into the record. So she had to state that she understood that that was her right and that she was waiving the right. She also had to say that she was pleading not guilty to the charges. So we heard her voice then. And then we also heard her voice at one point. It sounded like perhaps she was outside the view of the camera, and they had to have her move to be in view of the camera. So we did get to hear her voice. It was, you know,
was it? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Was it strong? Was it screechy? Okay.
No, it was. I mean, it was not. It's not what I'm used to hearing necessarily.
So she can be calm when she wants to.
I mean, it sounded like she was. But, you know, again, that was pretty early in the morning and a pretty scary situation.
I just wonder, like, is people like this, if, I mean, what, I just am curious why at, even at the, this, like, if she is not guilty, like she's saying, isn't there a real simple explanation she would say right then? And like, also, what do you think triggered the final arrest on Jen Hsiao? Like, what was the final straw where they're like, ah, we got her now. We got the case. Let's go. Let's get her.
You know, I'm not sure. I assume that, you know, they had enough evidence to proceed with the case, the 2019 case, with the other 10 defendants that were also involved in perpetuating the scheme. So I think they probably just needed more time to get, you know, more testimony, more evidence that they could really go up the chain and find out that these two were really behind it. And again, the government was pretty clear that they think that Jen and Sue are at the top of this scheme, where they already have guilty pleas and at least one plea deal. So
how much of this will the entire court case then be open to us October 18th?
You know, when it goes to trial, like, is this the next OJ trial? Will this be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Will we get access?
There's typically, you know, I'm not sure how trials are happening in the days of COVID, and certainly hopefully by October we'll be in a situation where we'll be vaccinated and perhaps jury pools can be, you know, brought in person. But again, the likelihood of whether or not this actually goes to trial, you know, remains to be seen as things develop over the summer. And most cases have, you know, press passes. So while Ryan Bailey may not be dialing in, you know, certainly I would expect major news outlets to have access to the case.
Well, what if I should do a daily reenactment of Jen Hsiao, the trial, and cast other people as parts and stuff like that. They used to do that on E, where they would reenact the OJ trial. Do you remember that?
I do. But I think you should do it like with dolls.
Oh, with dolls?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll have to use my Batman action figures and stuff. Is there any? So in summation, we really don't know what's happening still, except we know that she's been charged with this. It is now they have to prove their case. October 18th it starts, and she's allowed to film. So that's everything that we need to know. But I think with financial crimes, especially this time period, she'll hopefully be on such a close watch, because I think the tendency would still be to potentially be involved in illegal activities throughout this time, you know? She seems dumb, is what I'm saying. She doesn't seem like she's, you know?
Well, she's innocent until proven guilty, but I would say that I didn't appreciate until I was on the call and I heard the government speak just like truly how serious this is. And I think that the sentence that really stuck with me was when they said, you know, there's $5 million in this account, and we think you're at the, you know, the top of this scheme where people have already taken a fall. Like, to me, that intimated that the government's going to be looking for some time, and that this is not, you know, a misunderstanding.
Are we talking more than $5 million overall, though?
I think, I'm not sure, but she talked about $5 million, you know, at least is in this one account.
Okay.
As proceeds of the fraud.
Because I'm just curious what the restitution will be, you know, what she'll have to pay back if found guilty. And I don't know. I'm new to financial crime, so it'll be exciting to learn as we go. Megan,
yeah, we need to have money to commit crimes with them. So,
in fact, I feel like we should start placing bets on if she's guilty or not, and try to maybe do some kind of money money laundering that way if we all bet on her innocence or guilt.
Or, you know, just I think maybe you could make a prediction of time served, or that she'll, you know, that might be a fun game, like a baby pool.
Well, she's not under house arrest right now, but you know what? Like, if I was her, I would just like, hey, let's start the sentence right now, just in case you do find me guilty, you know, and just hang at home.
I mean, that would be your dream. I think you should commit some financial crimes because you would be excellent at house arrest. All you need is your microphone.
I would love to.
Your weighted blanket.
I would love to do a house arrest. That would be amazing. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.